Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to The Press. It's the first show of our new year. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's great to have you here. We're going to combine two shows into one because yesterday was New Year's Day. And while I thought about doing our usual Monday show for this week, I just kind of figured, hey, let's go watch some BC, or I was going to say the BCS. Let's go watch some college football playoff. I'm also a big darts fan, as I think I've talked about here. The quarterfinal rounds of the World Darts Championship were yesterday. Some banger matches if you're a fan of the darts. The semifinals are tonight. They're going to be awesome. Luke Littler and Rob Cross in the first one. And then you've got Luke Humphreys trying to get to through an incredible tournament. And he takes on Scott Williams, who beat Michael Van Gerwen. So that's tonight. But I figured, okay, let's just do a show on Tuesday. We'll have the model done. We'll have all kinds of stuff ready to roll. So let's just work with that and do two things at once. But if you're new to the show, typically we will do three shows a week. Monday, we'll talk about kind of first impressions about lines for the PGA Tour event that week, or the biggest event of that week if the PGA Tour is dark. And then on Tuesday, we'll talk about modeling, horses for courses, just kind of current form for picks. And then Wednesdays, everything else. So this is going to be our show for the week because there's no everything else this week. It's just this. We've only got the century. We get the DP World Tour back, and then we get the following week, get the LPGA back. So we'll soon have more golf to talk about each and every week, but at least for a couple of weeks, we've just got the PGA Tour. So let's start with kind of the overall market and where we are at right now. So this is a 59-player field, and they're playing at the Plantation Course at Capilou. It's the only par 73 course on the PGA Tour. It's just a smidge under 7,600 yards. Plenty of par 5s, plenty of long par 4s, plenty of short par 4s, plenty of longer par 3s. It is really a balanced golf course. It's an interesting play. Historically speaking, favorites tend to win here. Favorites and no worse than 25-1. And I think it's worth keeping that very crystal clear as we go through the lines here and some players you might be interested in. Typically, you're looking at a favorite or 7 to 8 deep on the odds table. So if you're thinking about like a Cam Davis or a Brian Harman, they're not bad ideas. They're just historically not good ideas, if that makes sense. This golf course does not tend to favor a longer hitter or a shorter hitter. Shorter hitters tend to never get favor. But a shorter hitter, relative to their peers, can win here. Jordan Spieth is not a long player. He set the PGA Tour scoring record against par here. It can be done. Cam Smith is not an especially long player. He's long, but not especially long. He's won here. Colin Morikawa should have won here last year. He is not a long player. John Rahm did. He's a long player. So different kinds of players can win here. That is a mark of a great golf course, in my view. This is a Core Crenshaw design. It's one of their earlier designs. They've renovated it since. It's a very fun golf course with enormous greens. So I don't really care about a whole lot about strokes gained putting this week. I know some people will because you're going to think about it in the scheme of you're going to hit a lot of greens, right? The greens are huge. So if you hit a lot of greens, well, surely putting matters. I think it's the exact opposite. And the reason I think that is what data tells you. Because you're going to miss a lot of putts, right? If you miss a lot of putts from longer range, you lose strokes putting. Because that's just the way that it works. So if you're in that 25, 30-foot range a whole lot, 40 feet, 50 feet, 60 feet, you could have 100-foot putts quite frequently on this golf course. You're going to lose strokes putting. that's not a bad thing. It's just how the statistic works. And the key thing, two things are key on the greens here. One, three-putt avoidance. Don't three-putt, especially from distance. But also, you got to have really good approach play here, because approach play is going to set you up for those 15-foot and in putts that you're going to have to make to score well here. You've got to be able to win this golf tournament with birdies. You're not going to typically win it with pars. That's just not happening. If you look at the history of this tournament, and we do this each and every week, if you look at this tournament's history and the winning score, let's go back to Jordan Spieth winning it in 2016, the year he shot 30 under par, which is no longer the record, right? Cam Smith beat that. But if you look at the scores to par in the last 8 years, 30 under, 22 under, 24 under, 23 under, weird year in 2020 with 14 under, wind blew, 25 under, 34 under, 27 under. So since the renovation, places gotten easier. And you're looking in the mid-20s probably to win this week, unless wind blows, right? And we'll check the weather forecast. That's important. We'll talk about that. But generally speaking, you're going to have to play a heck of a tournament. You're going to have to score very well here to win. So that all said, let's look at the horses for courses here, and let's look at kind of the course fit for the week, because I think this is very important at this golf course. Historically speaking, rookies do not win here. You don't generally win, at least, if you're thinking about being a first-year player. So that's a Ludwig Åberg, right? He's incredible. Won the RSM Classic, tied the PGA Tour's 72-hole scoring record in aggregate. Not against par, but in aggregate. You would think, and I think fairly, that he's going to win this week, or he's got a really good chance. However, I discount him a little bit because he hasn't played this tournament before at this venue. So it's not as valuable as I think. That doesn't mean he can't win. I'm not saying that. Just saying you kind of have to add a discount into where you value him because he doesn't have that experience. Versus someone like Patrick Cantlay, who has a very good history here. He has three top 15 finishes at this tournament. Clearly likes the venue. He's figured out how to play it for himself. Colin Morikawa loves the venue. Should have won here last year. Has four top 15 finishes in the last 5 years. So he's regularly here, and he's regularly very good. Xander Schauffele played once in the fall, T38 at the Zozo. But man, he loves this venue. Won here, has played great here. He has a thing for Kapalua. Like, it works for him. Won in 2019 on 23 under par. So, you know, that means something here. That doesn't always happen to be the case, but this is one of the few courses on the PGA Tour where that is. If you're trying to look at players in terms of a course fit, tee to green here matters a little bit more than most courses on the PGA Tour. Most courses are typically in that 33, 34, maybe 36% range on the higher end of valuing putting strokes gained relative to the tee to green piece. It's a little bit more tee to green here. And that goes to what I talked about just a few minutes ago. Gaining strokes on these greens is tricky because they're so big. So on a lot of courses, some of the time when you hit the green here, you would be chipping. Then you would gain strokes around the green or lose them. So that would be different. But here, approach matters a lot. Off the tee also matters a lot. But that number is messed up by the fact that you hit the fairway a lot here because the fairways are enormous. So you have to discount, you don't discount that, but being a bad driver, an inaccurate driver of the golf ball, does not mean as much here because you're going to gain some strokes off the tee. You're going to get some good rollouts. You're going to get some good runout. So you got to discount that. You got to think about that a little bit. And that does come up to a degree in some of these proposed course fits based on the modeling that we do every week. So guys like Adam Hadwin, guys like Jordan Spieth, guys like Matt Fitzpatrick, guys like Sam Burns, Davis Riley, Tyrrell Hatton, Cam Davis. Kind of notice a common thread between them, except maybe Sam Burns and to a degree Cam Davis. They're not necessarily all that long. And they're not, you don't think of them as big drivers. I mean, I think about it with Sam Burns and Cam Davis. But what it really means here is you can gain a lot of strokes on your approach play here and do well. So that, but what's interesting is, again, trying to do the mental math here, because you're discounting putting, but you're also discounting driving, but putting is deflated and off the tee is inflated. So guys like Xander Schauffele and Colin Morikawa, and to a degree, you know, that they've played this venue extremely well. They're not in the course fit. So you're kind of trying to do a little bit of equation in your head to how much counts for what. But meanwhile, putting discounted here helps a guy like Scottie Scheffler, potentially, because he's not the best putter. However, he's also a pretty good lag putter. He just misses a lot of close ones, or at least has historically. So when we're thinking about Scottie Scheffler for this week, we have to kind of take into consideration that putting doesn't mean quite as much, but also the good news for him is that the last time out, he looked extremely good putting. As a new putter, he's been working with Phil Kenyon, the renowned putting coach, and you're starting to see the results of that perhaps paying off, at least with a limited set of results, you know, limited series of results. So I think that means something in devaluing Scottie Scheffler. So all of that said, all that precursor stuff, also want to just underscore why there's 59 players in the field. If you aren't familiar, they changed the qualification criteria for this tournament. Yes, it used to be winners only and players who got to the tour championship was the last couple of years. Historically, it's been winners of any PGA Tour sanctioned event, official event, between the prior Tournament of Champions and the current one, including the last winner of the Tournament of Champions. Well, now that is still true, but now they're adding in the top 50 players from the final FedEx Cup eligibility list. And the reason I say that, because you have to be eligible. John Rahm is ineligible because he went to LIV Golf, so he can't defend his title. But guess who gets in because John Rahm's gone? Mackenzie Hughes, who was 51st in the final FedEx Cup standings, but is now 50th in the eligibility standings because Rahm is out. He's in, so he gets in all of these kinds of events, which is great news for him. It's going to be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars at a minimum. Could be worth millions to him by the end of the year. So he's kind of got a get-out-of-jail-free card here. He's just playing for fun. So that's important to all note. Now let's look at top of the table, again, triple emphasizing, that is very rare for someone worse than 25-1 to win this tournament. Scottie Scheffler's 5.5-1. Some good results in the venue, putting better, like it a lot. Victor Hovland, 9-1. Doesn't have much to show at this venue from what we've seen, but he is a tremendous player, loves tropical golf, and has really evolved as a golfer. There's good reason to like him at 9-1, but frankly, he looked tired at the Hero. That's the other thing to think about. We haven't seen guys play much golf in the last month. We don't know where they're at. We don't know what they're doing. We don't know what they did with themselves. So that's kind of something you have to throw into the bag of handicapping. Patrick Cantlay and Max Homa, Colin Morikawa are all 12-1. That all makes sense. Homa won in South Africa at the Nedbank Golf Challenge. He hasn't really shown a whole lot at this golf course, but he is one of the better players in the field. So you've got to rank him accordingly. I think if you're going to go between those, I would pick Morikawa in the kind of the redemption revenge spot. But I also discount Cantlay for a couple reasons. One, I don't really care for him. And two, he's doing all this negotiation as part of the policy board that probably takes up a good bit of his time and his focus. But he still plays well. So is that the difference between winning and losing? I don't know, but that's something I think about. Xander Schauffele's 14-1. Along with Ludovic Auber. If you're going to pick between those two guys, I would rather pick Schauffele. And I know that sounds silly. It is silly. But he has a good experience in a venue where experience matters. Ludwig could just come out here and blast driver all day, 375, and slaughter this golf course and just destroy this field. That is an outcome that absolutely could happen. But at 14-1, I don't know how I feel about that. If that outcome were 18-1, sign me up. If you can find an 18-1 on Ludwig, buy it up. Buy all of it. But 14-1 just feels a little short. Jordan Spieth is 20-1. Again, past winner here. You just kind of have to see what you're going to get from Spieth, because you really don't know. It's what makes him fascinating to watch, but extremely frustrating to bet on, because he's 15th in the world, but you look at his year, and he was 6th at the Hero out of 20 players. That's not bad. But then he was 34th at the BMW. He was terrible at the Tour Championship, 26th out of 30. Then T6 at the St. Jude. And then a bunch of MCs and random performances in between. He's very difficult to bet. I will not bet him this week, but I get why people will. Matt Fitzpatrick, 22-1. Haven't seen enough of a love for this venue for him to go with it. Same thing with Hatton and Fleetwood and Tom Kim. Of those, I would go with Tom Kim. And that's still quite a caveat, because Tom Kim has made a caddy change, and that might impact how he plays, but I also think he doesn't really care that much. He also won in Vegas, so he's got to have some feel-goods about that. I know that's 7 weeks ago now, or whatever it was, 8 weeks ago, but he does have that in the memory bank, right? So of those guys at that 25-1 price, I think Tom Kim's your guy. And he's sitting at 11th in the world. He's just ahead of Tyrrell Hatton. Tommy Fleetwood also had a very nice finish to the season. So you want to like him. But as I say every time we talk about Tommy Fleetwood, he doesn't win in America. He finished T2 at the DP World Tour Championship, T12 at a place he loves, at the Dead Bank Golf Challenge. 6th at the BMW PGA. Tied for 9th best score at the Tour Championship. He's playing excellent golf, but he doesn't win in America. So you can't price that at 25-1 for me. I wanted 35. Then maybe I'd get behind it. Tyrrell Hatton had a very nice finish to the year. This was one of the most interesting things I ever watched. He played some of the worst golf I've ever seen him play at the Horizon Irish Open. I thought for sure he was going to body bag somebody at the K Club. But then he finishes tied for second at Wentworth and tied for 11th at Jumeirah Golf Estates to end the year. Playing well. But again, winning in America is a challenge, but he finishes high so often here. So instead of maybe looking at Hatton to win, maybe you look at him at a top 5 or a top 10. Get him in the top 10 at plus money, 220. I can live with that. I can live with that with Fleetwood. Same number. Plus 220. If you want to bet derivatives, bet those guys. Tom Kim, I'm going to stick with him, even though he is more erratic. But if you look at his finish to the year, it was phenomenal. I mean, it was awesome. T15 at Jumeirah Golf Estates, tournament he never really patronized, won in Las Vegas, played great in the French Open, he kept active, played well at the BMW PGA, just really, really strong kind of last back half of the year. So I'm going to take Tom Kim there at 25 of those boys. I would take him to win. I'd also take him on the derivative. He's actually priced lower on the top 10 because he's the better player right now, plus 210. Some people have put out Tony Finau. I'm cool with that. Didn't have his best year, but I'm cool with that. I would rather go with Sun J.M. instead. He has more success at this venue. I think he's due for a big year. I think winning the Pan-Asian Games event that allowed him to get an exemption from military service, military conscription, is a huge deal for him. It probably weighed over him for a lot of the year. Literally, that one tournament was the one that mattered after the majors, and he won it. So for him, with that weight being lifted off his shoulders, I think it's going to be a big year for him, 30-1. Then we start getting into this price range of players where you know historically the winner does not come, and that is okay to acknowledge for the purposes of betting. But the alternative to that is we also haven't had 59-player fields in this tournament. So there back in the day, you know, for historic purposes, when you had all the winners, there were a lot of winners that had no chance. They were just happy to be there. Like, one third of the winners were just happy to be there for the free money. And there would be like a 39-player field, 40-player field, 35-player field. Well, no wonder the prices were so short. Now you introduce more players, good players that had a great year that just didn't win. Well, now you get a market where I think you can go down to 45 to 1, maybe even 50 to 1 and feel a little bit better. But if that's what your cutoff is using the historic markers, I think you stop at Sungjae Im. But then you dig deeper. Look at like Sam Burns, Bermuda Burns, right? Maybe. Russell Henley, Ricky Fowler, I think people are going to like him a lot this year. Cam Young lost Paul Tesori off his bag. Has not been playing that great, but he also has shown flashes of playing tremendously well. I don't know what that's going to mean for him at 35 to 1, and I think he could overpower this golf course and play great, but I think I would back off. A lot of people have bet Brian Harman because he is a high-quality ball striker. He handles wind extremely well if it shows up, and he's a great putter. What's not to like? 40 to 1. Jason Day switched from Nike to Malbon Golf. I will fade him forever as long as he's wearing Malbon Golf. And I mean that somewhat facetiously, but I also somewhat seriously mean that. Wyndham Clark's 50 to 1. He kind of flailed about as he was globetrotting over the course of the final months of the year, which a ton of respect for, but didn't play that great. Hideki Matsuyama, 50 to 1. Some past Hawaii success is worth considering here, but not enough success to hoist the trophy. So what do you feel about that? Cam Davis, 51. A lot of people are going to like. Guy I want to point out here in the 60 to 1 range. Well, two guys. I love Eric Cole, 55 to 1. Getting married. Had the best year of his life. He went down to a mini tour. Went down the Major League Golf Tour Minor League Golf Tour. Whatever it's called. Down in Florida for a one-day event for their tour championship, which he used to play their stuff all the time before he got a PGA Tour card. He went down there and beat the snot out of everybody in a one-day event just because he loves golf that much. He is a true sicko, and now he's going to play in this tournament, the $20 million tournament. I love Eric Cole. I hope he wins this year. Will I bet on him here? No, but I will be biased toward Eric Cole this year. Sepp Straka at 60-1 and Sahith Theegala at 60-1, I think are guys you should get behind. Sepp Straka finished 2023 very strong, and some of the changes I see in his game, he's getting smarter, he's playing more wise golf, and I think that will lead to less erratic results. He can win a lot of golf tournaments. Sahith Theegala had that breakthrough at Fortinet. I think he's going to have a really nice year this year. Extremely confident player, well-liked player by peers and fans, so he gets positive vibes. He's got that off his shoulders. He doesn't have to think about that anymore, of not being a winner. He's done it. I will also mention Keegan Bradley, 60 to 1. I'm biased towards Denny McCarthy at 65 to 1. I don't think he's going to win, but I do like Denny. And Harris English, I will point out here, because he won this golf tournament in 2021, and it was a big deal for him, 80 to 1. He's kind of on the comeback trail, had a nice enough finish to the year to stay in the top 50. Worth pointing that out. Then you start to get some really deep, darker places. Siwoo Kim, 90 to 1. It's almost too deep for Siwoo. He deserves a better number than that. He's extremely difficult to predict, and he's going to defend next week at the Sony. But I'm almost willing to bet Siwoo Kim at this number. Then dig down a little bit deeper. Maybe a Kurt Kitayama is interesting. He plays Windy Golf Course as well. He drives the ball pretty well. He could be interesting at 130 to 1. No experience here, so you'd probably need a deeper price. But he might be worth looking at. I might bet Mac Hughes in a number of these events this year because he's free rolling, and that could kind of help him out quite a bit. Eric Van Rooyen is going to play a very emotional week, I think, this week. His friend that he won for in Mexico did wind up passing away, unfortunately, just that week later. I wonder how he feels about that and what that might mean to him, for him to be able to succeed. But he had been playing good golf, and I expect him to continue to play good golf. So if you want to look for a couple bombs, couple long shots. Maybe you think about Kitayama, and maybe Chris Kirk too, but Mac Hughes, and then Eric Van Rooyen. But it's seriously among those, Kitayama and Eric Van Rooyen. So that's all that to be considered. We do talk on this show about tournament props, winning margins, playoffs, those types of things. Historically, this tournament is close. The last 5 years have been one stroke, twice, a playoff twice, and two strokes. So one stroke in a playoff, one stroke is plus 200, a playoff plus 400. I think those are probably your two best bets. Four strokes or more is plus 275. If you go back to 2016, we have had two blowouts by eight strokes or more, or by eight strokes. So I can see where you want to come from there, but if you look in the longer term, one and a playoff are your by far your best, most common outcomes going back to 2008, 2006. I mean, there are blowouts. There are occasional blowouts, but I think your best choice is if you're going to play that prop all year, is one stroke or a playoff. So we'll put that out there. I don't play hole-in-one bets. I would not play a hole-in-one at all, just given the wind you expect here. 72nd hole bet this week is interesting because it's a par 5. Winner to birdie the 72nd hole. Yes, minus 150. No, plus 110. Here's how I would encourage you to think about that. If you're going to play, if this is a logic exercise. If you're going to play the winning margin bet and you expect it to be a blowout, then maybe you would also play no on the 72nd hole. Because if it's a blowout, maybe they don't have anything to play for and they just hit three or four, six irons onto the green and they don't have to care about birdieing the 72nd hole. That's just one way to think about it. Winner to bogey or worse the 72nd hole, plus 1,400. Not going to happen. But if you were to think about that, then you would think about a player who had a huge lead and was close, and maybe two or three ahead, and then makes a mess of the 72nd hole, drops into a playoff and wins. That's the only way that happens. Winner to par 72nd hole, no, minus 165. Yes, plus 125. So that's a little bit of a different spin on what's effectively the same bet, because the most likely outcomes on the 72nd hole are par and birdie, right? Bogeys don't happen too often. Eagles don't happen too often. It's a tricky putt for eagle typically. So you're looking at kind of the same bet. Does it sound weird? It's not exactly the same, but if you're saying the winner will par the 72nd hole, then they're also not going to birdie the 72nd hole, that given the most likely outcomes. Just something to think about there in the way those markets are phrased. They're not that, I mean, there are more outcomes, but it's not birdie or better the 72nd hole. It's not par or better. It's exactly par, exactly birdie. So if you want that market, why wouldn't you just go to the yes market and just say yes to a par? Just my thought on it. Just my thought. Okay. I think that wraps up everything I wanted to say related to the tournament today. It's 28 minutes. We try to typically keep this show in the 15 to 16 minute range on the daily. So coming in at 30 for two combined shows is just about right. We will be back next week to talk Sony Open in Hawaii. I think the DP World Tour is back next week. And then the following week, we get the LPGA back with their Tournament of Champions. Yeah, the next event is next week, the Dubai Invitational, for the start of the 2024 portion of the DP World Tour schedule. So we'll have two tournaments next week. And then the following week, we will have the LPGA come back. As I mentioned, their 2024 schedule starts January 18th. The Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions down at Lake Nona. So all that to say, we got lots of golf coming, lots more coming. And then after that, we get Live a few weeks later. We'll have a full slate of golf to talk about quite soon. We'll also have the Champions Tour to discuss, because they'll play one event in Hawaii and then they take a while off. So We'll have plenty of other stuff other than the PGA Tour to talk about. If you would like to join Golf News Net for $99 a year, you can do that at our website, golfnewsnet.com. Happy to have you. We're going to introduce some more tools. Some of them are going to be free to access this year. Some of them will just stay premium, but we'll offer a couple of additional tools this year available for free. We did offer a free tournament-by-tournament historical leaderboard stuff. All of our histories, tournament histories are free. Our Horses for Courses / current form post is free. Fantasy top 10, one-and-done picks, first looks for betting odds, all that stuff, all that's still free. But our premium tools are excellent. The model is incredible. We didn't even get to the model, which we should talk about here real quickly, because otherwise, why were you listening to this show? We just got so many different directions. But I will go over the top 10 of the model real quick. We do that here on this show for free because they're typically pretty obvious. And then beyond that, if you're looking for value, you can go elsewhere. So this is kind of some somewhat surprising results, but this is because of the year Eric Cole had, and he only has 1 year on the PGA Tour, so he's inflated. But top 10, Xander Schauffele, Scottie Scheffler, Patrick Cantlay, Matt Fitzpatrick, Max Homa, Sungjae Im, Eric Cole because of that 1 year, Victor Hovland, Ludvig Åberg, limited experience, more experience he gets, the better, but he's had it in tougher tournaments, and then Tom Kim is 10th. So just that to think about. Colin Morikawa is 13th, Tommy Fleetwood is 11th, Tyrrell Hatton 15th. We talked about those guys earlier. So just wanted to get that on your radar. You can find out that full model by joining golfnewsnet.com as well. If you have any questions, email me right at thegolfnewsnet.com on Twitter, Threads, X, Instagram, and Blue Sky at Ryan Ballingy. We will be back next week with some more shows and some more tournaments. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time on The Press.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woohoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.